Chapter 5, I switched our order here. I'm back up. If you go under subchapter 5, you file your plan, and you have 90 days to file your plan, and it's just the debtor's exclusive right to do that, and they pay creditors out of disposable income over a 3 to 5 year period. It's the old cash flow mortgage that we used to see back in the 80s. Principal owners can retain their ownership. No creditors committee. Trustees appointed, but no trustees fees are imposed. From a secured creditor standpoint, one of the things that bothers me a lot is the absolute priority rule is not applied. Debtor can restructure debt and perhaps use cram downs and retain ownership, even when a plan is not voted on by an impaired creditor. So you've got a situation that could be fairly detrimental to a secured creditor based on prior provisions. And whatever doesn't get paid based on this cash flow type of a situation may be discharged. They also, unlike 11's, administrative expenses can be expended instead of paid as a first priority matter. If somebody uses a home loan to fund business expenses, that can be brought into the scope of the proceeding as well. And they can cause reductions in interest rates, extended maturity dates, things that are not available under 13. We're seeing a lot. I watch the bankruptcy filings for the state daily, and we see a lot of retail. I see a whole bunch of oil and gas, none of which is really a surprise. Really, the surprise, I think, for both of us is that we haven't seen more restaurants yet. We're going to see, I think, more and more bankruptcy filings by tenants, but I haven't seen a whole lot of that yet.
I've been involved in three. My lucky landlord clients had GNC, Pier 1, and Tuesday Morning. I've been monitoring and actually active in a couple of those.
So my firm hasn't had exposure to that yet. I'm sure that's only a matter of time before we get there, though. Section 365 says that within 60 days after filing, the tenant is supposed to assume or reject and timely pay rent along the way. Bankruptcy court's allowed to extend that deadline to a total of 210 days for the good cause, but does not provide for a change of the date for the payment of rent. There is a legal development in Pier 1 that Brian has picked up on, where the court has basically said...
Brian has suffered.
Yes. That's okay. You don't have to pay it right now. It's part of my authority to do things which carry out the purpose of the statute, that just create a pause in the payment obligation. No statutory authority
statutory authority is this broad, do things that are appropriate for the purpose of the statute under section 105, and that's been stretched and stretched and stretched. The court just refused to allow the filing of or hear any motions to lift stay or any motions to force the rent to be paid. And so the landlords went without any kind of rent for 90 days or so. And the Pier 1 turned into a liquidation, and landlords did get some of the back rent as part of the liquidating plan. So it ended up not being as potentially painful as it could have been. But this pause, that's what the court's calling it, has been used in other cases and are now being requested in other cases in retail, multiple tenant retail bankruptcy situations. The court involved in this is the Eastern District of Virginia in Richmond, and that seems to be a popular place to go, although Tuesday Morning is in Dallas.
Yeah, that was going to be my question, is which court Pier 1 was in.
Tuesday Morning has not involved the pause. Okay. The next topic will not be nearly so interesting as if bankruptcy is, but it's necessary. And that is, I'm going to impose upon you for the first time, I'm sure, in many years, to think about the rule against perpetuities. But I'm going to do it for a good cause, and that is because we're seeing some cases that to which it applies. The case update yesterday did talk about one of these cases that I talk about in the paper here, the Caruso versus Young case, and we'll use that as an example and spring off into an oil and gas case that does make some new rules that we all need to be aware of. Caruso versus Young involves some property up in, as I refer to it, Pflugerville. Young owned some property and leased it to Caruso for a term annually for as long as Caruso or any one of his heirs might pay the rent. And then there was a very favorable purchase option in the lease as well, which would extend for the term. So the purchase option was one that could have indefinite forever kind of life, and that was the problem. Caruso, the tenant, tried to exercise the option, and the landlord decided he'd made a bad deal. And tried to use the statute of the rule against perpetuities to get out of this obligation to